in the future, others of you will join us in sending around greetings at this time each year. It would be even better if we could connect it to a holiday of some kind. Okay, to say that it has been an eventful few years would be an understatement. In fact, life has been pretty crazy since Mary and I became engaged almost 3 years ago. There have been a lot of transitions in our lives, which has been difficult on our new family, or at least us parents. If you had asked Mary or me back then where we expected to see ourselves almost 3 years into our marriage, neither of us would have said in Egypt with a baby. But it seems the running theme in our lives over this period of time would best be articulated as unexpected. It began with our engagement and initial planning for the wedding, but as we soon often found out, plans are made to be changed. As if getting married was not enough of a life transition, suddenly we were told a baby was on the way. I do not know why we call pregnant women expecting mothers, as this was far from expected for either of us. Of course, God was clearly at work as we each received a very clear message about the situation. You have all heard of the angel visitations, first to Mary and then to me. Of course you've heard, that's all we've ever talked about since. Many thanks to each of you who were willing to give us the benefit of the doubt and believe us, and special thanks to Mary's kinfolk, Elizabeth and Zechariah, for their support and encouragement. Special messages from God and unusual pregnancies seem to be running in the family. So we moved our wedding date earlier, and I took Mary into my household as my wife. Then, if transitioning into married life wasn't difficult enough, we moved. We had barely had a chance to settle in with our wedding gifts when this tax census endeavor was announced. Mary was in her final trimester, and this absentee government said that we had to pick up stakes and go to Bethlehem. My grandparents don't even remember this place, but I had to go there to register with a pregnant wife. This was not my idea of a honeymoon. It was the first time in my life I regretted being a direct descendant of our great King David. Some suggested filing for an extension, but I figured, what's worse, traveling with a pregnant wife or traveling with a toddler? We figured he'd be easier to keep track of this way, no wandering off without telling us. So we made off to Bethlehem, and when we got there, the inn had lost our reservations. Fortunately, the night manager was kindly and a hospitable man and put us up out back in a stable. Then the baby came. We had barely started to settle in when Mary told me, "It's happening!" This was not the time nor the place I would have chosen, especially after the stress of travel and dealing with our housing arrangements. But Mary did wonderfully, and we welcomed Jesus into this world. No sooner had we calmed down from the... No sooner had we cleaned up the baby when we ended up with some unexpected visitors. A number of young men who had been out tending their flocks came sheepishly knocking on the door. They said they had encountered a whole chorus of angels from on high that told them of our son's birth. Our son. We had barely swaddled him in cloth, and they came knocking, knowing exactly where to find us. It was amazing hearing them describe what they had experienced and to see how they looked at Jesus. After all that excitement the first night, things seemed to settle down, so much so that we decided to maybe settle down ourselves in Bethlehem. We all know how slowly governments function, even setting and collecting taxes, so settling in sounded better than living out of our luggage. I began a carpentry shop while Mary looked after Jesus. Being a bit more established in Bethlehem also made our journey to Jerusalem for the purification rites a much shorter trip. Even this became another eventful and memorable trip for us. As we entered the temple courts, we encountered two older individuals named Simeon and Anna. They could not contain their excitement to see and meet Jesus. I was amazed at the words they shared about him, not just to us, but to others around who would listen. I did not think it was possible, but their excitement exceeded that of even the shepherds that first night. Oh, okay, let's gotta keep the legs moving here. Yes. A few months later, we received more surprise visitors. No, it wasn't another angelic vision. There is another one coming, though. Okay, and it wasn't another baby. Goodness, what a surprise that would have been. It was a group of magi who traveled from the east to come and see Jesus. Mary and I could not believe how far they had traveled. With the shepherd visitors, at least it was local, with Simeon and Anna, they were regulars at the temple, but these folks had been traveling for quite some time. I was skeptical of their intentions at first. I remember many lessons at the synagogue growing up about the dangers of looking to the stars for answers and how it can lead us away from God. Yet these men seemed very sincere, and I was surprised that the way they talked about Jesus paralleled the words of the angelic visitors Mary and I had and the words of Simeon and Anna. Clearly, God is working in some different ways than we were expecting. They even brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We graciously tried to decline, but they insisted. And if that wasn't enough, they even bowed down and worshiped Jesus. Man, what a visit that was. Now, I'm sure every parent must feel that their child is something special, that no one looks to another child quite the way they do with theirs. In our case, that must be true. It's not just a parent's pride speaking. In all honesty, it really does seem that folks sense something special here in our child, in this child. Mary seems to be having an easier time accepting it all than me, as if the visit from the angel back when Mary and I were only engaged wasn't enough to convince me. Certainly the experience with the shepherds in the temple and with these magi seemed to be an affirmation that God is at work in all of this. And it's also an affirmation of the message that the first angel brought me. Ooh. You read that right. I said first angel because it happened again. In talking with the visiting magi, they recounted how they had stopped in Jerusalem to talk to King Herod and the priests in their search to find Jesus. Politics aside, something's always rubbed me the wrong way about him. Apparently, it's not just me who gets that feeling either, as the Magi expressed similar feelings. When they had stopped in Jerusalem, Herod requested that they let him know where they found Jesus so Herod could come worship him too. We all agreed that Herod's intentions probably did not match his words. The morning the Magi left, they told us not to worry, as they would be taking another route home as they were told to in a dream. I do not know if other parents have ever had this experience, but when somebody says not to worry, it usually brings about more worry than before. Well, it turns out there was some good reason to worry. Not too long after the Magi left, another angel came to me in a dream. You would think that after one time, it would not be as much of a shock the second time around, but it is, especially when the message has no resemblance of the "do not be afraid" of my first experience, but instead a more immediate and commanding tone. Get up, take your child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Nobody says get up and go like an angel, and nothing says get up and go like a threat on your child's life. I woke up with a jolt and in a sweat, which worked out well because it also awoke Mary and Jesus. Needless to say, we barely packed anything and were on the road to Egypt well before sunrise. I need to add it. Okay. Yes, moving once in a year while pregnant sounds difficult, but then to move again with a toddler in the middle of the night probably sounds crazy. But we weren't excited about staying around to see if the angel was right. Between the unexpected moves, visitors, pregnancies, and angel appearances, you can tell why our life theme recently has been unexpected. It took me a while to fully embrace this theme. Sometimes I believe we can put a boundary around the way God can be at work. Wouldn't it be easier if God worked inside our box of how we think he should work? Don't you wish sometimes that the good Lord would just speak for himself and be done with it? It would certainly seem easier that way. And yes, Mary and I have the benefit of having those special messengers. However, having been on the receiving end of those messengers, now twice, I can testify that it feels as if they leave as many unanswered questions after the experience as before. For me, at that first visit, it was questions of what will people think? What am I to do for Mary and now a child too? Now with the second visitations, questions of safety arise, of how long we will be here in Egypt before we're told it's safe to go back. Yet even through these questions and the obvious experiences, to all the unexpected experiences shared above and many others along the way, Mary and I have continued to see God at work through it all. As we have embraced this idea of unexpected, God has taught us a lot about how he is always at work. When God is at work, it does not matter the limits we try to place around it. God is going to be at work anyway. The best thing we can do is to try to broaden our view and be ready to see where God is at work. While I still do not fully understand what God is doing, I feel like I am learning along the way to be better at seeing God at work in these unexpected ways. I share these in hopes that you too might be better prepared to see God at work in your life. I have learned the importance of community in helping discern God's will. I cannot imagine going through all these experiences without Mary to talk to about it. Touching base with family that recently had a similar experience helped us navigate a miraculous pregnancy. The faith community at the synagogue in Bethlehem was a wonderful blessing to us as new parents. And if it was not for our greater faith community, we never would have met Anna and Simeon at the temple in Jerusalem. All these relationships, no matter the length, but all focused on God, helped us walk through those questions and helped us see God at work in our lives in more subtle ways. I've also learned that it helps to be open to being inconvenienced. Obviously, this isn't how we would have planned the first few years of our marriage. But if it was our plan, then it wouldn't have been God's plan. If you think I was initially excited about taking on the stepdad role, I hate to tell you that you were wrong. Even now, there's times where I find myself questioning all that has happened and exclaiming to God, I didn't sign up for all of this. If it was my plan, we would have a stable home life in Nazareth. Instead, Jesus was born in a stable, and things have been far from stable for Mary and I since. It would have been easy to turn away Jesus' first visitors, the shepherds. My wife just gave birth, and you kids who we don't even know are coming to visit after being out in the fields all day and night. Or our visitors from the east. At least with the shepherds, there's occupational overlap of swinging by the stable. But having the Magi knock on the door, my gut instinct of saying, you have the wrong place, and shutting the door, would have been justified. If we had closed ourselves off from these visitors, we would have missed the wonderful blessings of words, oh yeah, and gifts they had for our family. When we keep our convenience, we close the door of how God might be working in these unexpected ways. But when we are open to being inconvenienced, we give up some of our control of the situation. And when we're supposed to live with God in control of our lives anyway, giving up our control is probably a good thing. Finally, I think taking the time to sit down and reflect on how God has been at work in the past is an important piece of all of this. Looking back can help us. Looking back can help us for how God might be at work in the present and our future. Fortunately, the past doesn't predict the future, but it can help us be more aware and ready when opportunities arise. This is something that I have my own experience to lean on, but I also see it in some of the stories of the prophets and the law. I was recently at temple and I heard the story of Jonah again. I'm glad I was not as reluctant as Jonah was at the beginning of my journey, but I was struck at how unexpected the wholehearted repentance of Nineveh was. If God can be at work in a place like Nineveh with such a short message of repentance from Jonah, why can't God be at work in these unexpected experiences we have had? Mary keeps reminding me of the angel's words to her, for nothing is impossible with God. He has seen us through a move to Bethlehem with Mary pregnant, childbirth in a stable, and now safely to Egypt. Even the transition of being married and beginning our lives together under unusual circumstances, God has seen us through these past almost 3 years. Because of all this, I feel better prepared for whatever God has next for us, whether it's convenient or not, because I know I have people to walk through it together, and I have no reason to doubt God will continue to be faithful to us. For now, our plans are to stay here in Egypt until we receive word it is safe to come home. Knowing that we are only here short-term, I have found temporary work with a couple of construction groups. Fortunately, it is carpentry and not masonry. We're already looking forward to the day of coming out of Egypt and back home to the Promised Land, much like our ancestors did. Hopefully our stay and journey back won't be as long as theirs was. In closing, we truly appreciate all of you who have supported us with kindness and love through these turbulent and confusing times. For the rest of you, we only hope that you too will see the light and come to understand. Sometimes I fear that Jesus will never be truly welcome among those who know us best back home in Nazareth. Nonetheless, we can hardly wait for you all to see him. He has already changed our lives, and we know you will come to feel the same way. Remember Isaiah's words, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. God be with you as well, in ways both expected and unexpected. With love, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. Whew, that was a long one, but hopefully if we do this next year, we won't have as much to update everybody on. And I think Mary will like that too. Okay, now to get this to the scribes, and we can send it to our friends and family. Oh, I got to wrap presents for Jesus' birthday tomorrow.